I was just told that Rabbi Gans, who participates in the shiur all the time, is in the hospital tonight because his daughter is having surgery, serious surgery. So we should learn as a schus for his daughter. His daughter's name is Miriam Silka Bashprinza. She should have her for Shlema. We left off last week, Amem Gimel Amud Aleph. I think we were in the middle of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about the three people who are potter from the army. The one is the Bona Bayis V'loi Chanocha, the other one is Not HaKerem V'loi Chilolo, and the third one is Eres Isha V'loi Lokocha. So the Mishnah says that these three people are potter from serving in battle. However, on the first white line it says, the Chayzrim, they go back home, but not fully. But they have to help out by driving a truck and delivering food. They're just not in combat action. Sometimes they have to help fix the highways. And the following people, then you have people who are Einam Chayzrim, they're not potter at all, even though it looks a little bit like these three people. It's slightly similar, but it's not. And then you have others who are potter legamrei. So I think that's where we left off. I think on the second one, we started it. The following people are not potter from the army. The only time one is potter is bona bayis v'lechanocha. He builds a bayis that's a chai v'mezuzah. What's chai v'mezuzah? Whatever is either a beis dira, people actually live there, or a beis dira, they don't actually live there like we had before. Beis haboka, beis hateven, beis haitzim, beis haoitzer, a storage house, a place where you keep behemoths there, and the farmer goes in every day, even though human beings don't live there. But the beis habokar is chai v'mezuzah. The beis haitzim, if you have a storage house where you keep logs, and you go in on an ongoing basis, you go in on a regular basis, you go in once every week and a half or something, once a week, you're not chai v'mezuzah. You go in almost every day, there's a beis haitzim shemistapkim imenu, that they go in pretty often, even though they don't really do any hishtamshes there. They just take the haitzim and they bring it into the house. But the fact that they go in and to take out the Eitzim, that itself is called the Hishtamshus. That's also called the Diras Adam. But Eve Beisharach Sedra Mirpesa, so that's not Chayv Mezuzah. The Mishnah says, by definition, that's not called Bayis, because it says, Chsaftma Mezuzah Beisech B'Sharecha. We have to put a Mezuzah on Beisech, on the Pesach HaBayis. So just like a Beishar, Beishar is a hallway. So Bayas, the hallway is Chayv Mederabonim, because it leads into a room that is Chayv Mezuzah. So it's Chayv Mederabonim. But if you have just a hallway, let's say sometimes they have in the street that the people shouldn't get rained on, so they have a passageway that the people walk there, but they don't do anything there. They just walk, and it doesn't lead to another house. Just when you walk from here to here, you won't get rained on. So that's not chai v'mezuzah. So that's not called a bayis. Habana beishar achsedra merpeses. Achsedra means that it doesn't have walls on all the four sides. It just has a roof on top without walls. A merpeset. Merpesed bayas, merpesed means it doesn't have a roof. Yeah, it doesn't have a terrace, it doesn't have a roof. Or it means in the days of the Tanoim, they would have if you have a two-story house, and upstairs you have more than one apartment, so you would have a merpesed, you would climb up a ladder, or a stairway, whatever, in order to get to the merpesed. Then you were on the merpesed, you would decide which apartment you're going to. So the merpesed is like a hallway. Yeah, it leads to the house. It's chayv mezuzah midirabbanan. It leads to the house, but it's only a midirabbanan. I treat it as a bias on the level of the rice. It's not a bias because that's not called the hishtamshes. People just walk there. That's not called the hishtamshes. So even though a beis haboka, beis haoitzer, beis haitzim, and so on is chayv mezuzah, and whoever builds that is potter from the army. Whoever builds these things, beishach seven pesos, is not called a bias. And
this is for enemies.
Yes, it's a bucker. Yeah, for behemoths.
You can't put a mitzvah.
But the fact that the farmer has to go every day to feed the behemoths and to take care of them, to take them out.
You go into places too many, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sleep there. It's filthy and it's smelly. I wouldn't enjoy sleeping there. But the fact that he goes in to take care of his behemoths, that's also called the hishtam. Let's say I have an office. I never eat in the office. I never sleep in the office. But I do my business in the office. My whole parnasa is in the office. So that's chayv mezuzah. That's called beisecha. So this is a danganse parnasa. He works with behemoths. He has a stable and he has behemoths. So that's like his office. He wouldn't sleep in the office. He wouldn't eat there. But it's still chayv mezuzah. It's still called a bayis. I don't think so. I don't think so. The Pashtis. No, the Psataz writes like that. If you're not there by Yom HaBalayla, it's not Chayiv and Mezuzah. But I don't think that's the accepted opinion. Yeah. The only shaila is let's say the office is shared by Jews and non-Jews. That's a machlokes. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Mezuzah writes, let's say there's a Jewish student who goes to Goyish University and he has a roommate. His dormitory has a non-Jew as a roommate. So the Ramah writes that you're not chayiv and mezuzah. If you're afraid the roommate is going to rip down mezuzah and throw it in the garbage, so you're not allowed to put a mezuzah. You're not allowed to put an amok mishen and mishtamer. Let's say to put a mezuzah outside where the goy may rip it off. So you're not allowed to. Or to put a mezuzah where it may rain on it, it may snow on it, it may get ruined. So you're not allowed to put a mezuzah but amok mishen and mishtamer. But let's say even the roommate is a non-Jew, he's going to be respectful of the mezuzah, he's not going to violate it. So the Ramah writes that shut v'sakim is potter. Beisecha b'sharecha is only if Yidden lived there. Many Achrenim disagree with the Ramah. They hold that there is no such din. They say the Ramah invented it from thin air. And most Achrenim, I think, disagree. They hold the shut v'sakim is also chayiv mezuzah.
Excuse me. Someone has a chicken coop, right? But there's 10 different rooms, and you go from one room to the next. It's more than an office. That's where the chickens are. You would have to have on every room?
I think so. Yeah. I'll be past the different rooms, yeah. Unless it smells so much, maybe it's called a mokka mavuza, like a toilet.
I was brought up in Vineland, New Jersey, and at the time there were a lot of, you know, film farmers.
Right.
I never saw anyone, so we didn't know. I don't recall anyone ever having.
Maybe since it's full of tzoya, maybe it smells awful. I don't know. But a beis habakar is chayiv a mezuzah. Even that also smells a little bit.
The farmer goes in to milk the cows.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a place of labor. You work in.
Yeah. So that's chayiv a mezuzah. That's called the hishtamshus.
Yeah. Room like many places have. You have the bathroom, then you have a room before it where you have sinks and things like that.
Yeah.
The room that has the sinks in it.
It's also chayiv mezuzah. Usually it doesn't have dalet al dalet amos. Dalet amos is pretty big. Not dalet tvachim is tiny. Dalet tvachim is like this. That's why Rishu Sayochet Shal Shabbos has to be a minimum size of dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim with mechitzas like an Aron Kodesh. We say you don't have to stand up in the Sefer Torah is in the Aron Kodesh even when it's open, because the Aron Kodesh is a Rishu Bifnei Atzmai. So the Taz writes, why is it a Rishus Bifnei Atzma? Because it's 10 tefachim tall, and it has dalet al dalet inside, so it's a different room. But in order to be chayiv mezuzah, the Gemara says it has to be dalet amos al dalet amos. There's one opinion that if that's the way they normally build houses, with rooms, that some rooms are less than dalet al dalet amos, and it has a normal ishtamshus, so there is a minority opinion that in such a situation would be chayiv mezuzah. But we don't hold like that. Most of the Achrayim do not accept that view. They say, no, it's a din. A room that doesn't have dalaram is not chayiv mezuzah. But let's say if the room before the toilet, if it's so big that it has dalaram, it would be chayiv mezuzah. Different opinions, how big the yama is. Yeah. Then the Mishnah has about not a kerem. This we start not a kerem v'lochilalo. The Mishnah holds it doesn't have to be dafke kerem vineyard of grapes. If you plant five trees near each other, if you plant one tree in New Jersey, the din only not a kerem bana bais v'lochanocha only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara here, the Yerushalmi says, and the Magen Avraham and Arachayim quotes the Yerushalmi on this perek, Moshe Elchon Chama, then Chanukas Habayis is only in Eretz Yisrael. The Sama Achrayim understood that to mean that when you buy a new home and you throw a party to celebrate Chanukah Zabais, it's only if you bought a home in Eretz Yisrael. Bon Chutzlur doesn't apply. So the Mefarshim say, no, that's not what Yerushalmi is talking about. He's not talking about Chanukah Zabais. He's talking about Mehiresh Abon Abais V'lo Chanukah. This Chanukah Zabais, you put them from serving in the army if you bought a home in Eretz Yisrael. Bought a home in America, they would draft you into the army. All the Jews all over the world are drafted into the Jewish army. It doesn't matter whether you're a citizen in Medina Yisrael or not a citizen. That's lomala v'lomorid. The only thing that counts is all the Jewish men above the age of 20. They draft in Eretz, or they draft in the army even before the age of 20. So Rashi HaChumash writes that that's not right. It says that the census is always taken in Ben Es Mishalom Malo Kol Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael. Those were drafted in the army. So Rashi writes at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar Mikan, that from this pasuk you derive that younger than 20 you don't draft into the army. The Rambam never writes like that. The Rambam never gives you any minimum age. So they say the Rambam apparently does not agree with that Rashi. But where Rashi says the Pasha Pshat and the Chumash. So, I think so. They can draft, they're supposed to draft the Jewish men. You don't draft women into the army, you don't draft children into the army. It has to be above the age of 20. Noshim etaf are not drafted into the army. That's when you wage war against the enemy, so you don't kill the Noshim and the Taf, means you don't kill civilians. The Noshim and the Taf are civilians, they only kill the soldiers. So the soldiers are the men above the age of 20.
Yeah.
Right, that's what we spoke about there. Rav Shlomo Levilner wrote a svara that Kohanim are not drafted into the army. And he said, therefore, Kohanim are not mechuyev in Parsha Zohar, and therefore, if the Kohen is the Balkare, he can't lay in Parsha Zohar, because Mishenim mechuyev adavre, and emotzi asachem v'dechavos. So he writes in the table of contents in his sefer that his brother told him to leave out that whole essay, that it doesn't make any sense, that he doesn't explain what part of the essay is wrong. There were Kohanim. Abshalom Levilner was a Kohen, his brother was Kohen also, but Saul Levilner was the older brother. So we don't know whether he means that it's not true that you don't draft Kohanim in the army. You do draft Kohanim in the army. That's what Ifas Toya, right? The Mordechai brings the Rai from Ifas Toya. Okay, you have to send someone to the front, so they decide who goes to the front.
Kohen kills people in combat in the
Israeli army. Let's say they have Kohanim. So if a Kohen kills a terrorist or a Kohen kills a Palestinian, we just say that he's pasul to duchen. So that was a big machlekes 50 years ago. Rav Soloveitchik said he's pasul, he's not allowed to duchen. And Chacham Avadya has a whole tshuva, he disagrees. Not such a strong tshuva. Usually he has very nice, and not such a strong tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik said, it says beferish in the Zohar that he's pasul. So Rav Avadya writes, and he writes that he did a mitzvah, he didn't do anything wrong. Either it's a Zohar, ain't kamach laharich. The main punchline he doesn't have. The main punchline, he doesn't. So that's what the Zohar asked Akasha. How could Pinchas do avoid in the Beis HaMikdash? But he killed someone. But I bet he killed, it was a mitzvah. It was a kind of in Pogrom.
He led the army into a mitzvah.
Okay.
I'm sure there must be some battling there.
Okay. So that was the Zohar's Akasha. The Zohar asked Akasha. They work on Akasha. But the Zohar doesn't say that he did it by Maka mitzvah. So therefore he's not possible. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He thought that he should be posel to duchen, even though he's doing it b'makom mitzvah. And he brought the rife in the pasuk that says, David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi told him, Dam Rab Shafachto, and you're going to have a son who's going to be an Ish Sholem, his name is going to be Shlomo, and the Beis HaMikdash has to be Menasati Sholem HaMakom Hazeh. Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be HaMakom Sholem. But who did David HaMelech kill? What, he killed Jews? He killed terrorists. He killed Palestinians.
Yeah, he went to Syria, though, when he wasn't supposed to.
But that's not why he was not permitted.
That was
a different thing, but he wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash because Dam Rav Shafachta, because he killed people. He killed the enemy. He did B'makom Mitzvah. And still the Navi said he's not allowed to.
That's what Hashem said. Hashem's upset when people get killed. He created them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right. Okay. Exactly. So you see from this Yerushalmi says that they draft the Jewish men even if they're not citizens of Medina, so that's la mala la mur. The Israeli government doesn't draft the Jews in America. They know it's just not going to work. The United Nations will close down the whole Medina. They'll wage war against the whole Eretz Yisrael. So they don't try, but strictly speaking, when the Israeli army needs people, they probably don't need them. When they need, so the men,
they come volunteers.
Okay.
They do send letters out.
Oh yeah? So strictly speaking, the Jewish men all over the world are mechuyev to serve equally. It doesn't matter whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or not. So if you got married, then you putter. But if you built a home in Chutz La'aretz, there's no special big deal for that. If you built a home in Eretz Yisrael, then you have the ptur. Miyash habana bais in Eretz Yisrael. But nasa isha, that even if you got married in Chutz La'aretz, you're also putter from the army. I don't know about nota kerem. We have to look. What, maybe nota kerem also is only meaningful in Eretz Yisrael. Probably doesn't. What's the mila not a kerem chutz lords? If you get married, that does make a difference. Eretz Yisrael chutz lords, but not a kerem, not in bona bayis. is only a mile to pata you if it was done in Eretz Yisrael.
What does that mean? It says it with the something
you can
only do in Eretz Yisrael,
not here. Pidyon netarivai. Chilla means that he do the pidyon netarivai in the fourth year.
But it's only mitzvah.
Well, the din of Orla applies even to chutzlords. Orla chutzlords applies. The Mishnah says in Kiddushin that the mitzvahs, the agriculture mitzvahs hanogas baaretz, chavis karka, are only noig in Eretz Yisrael with a few exceptions. So one of the exceptions is Orla. Orla means you plant a tree, a fruit-bearing tree, so the first 3 years you're not allowed, if anything grows. The first the pears that grow, the first year you're not allowed to eat. So the Mishnah says that applies to chutzlort. So the Gemara has a machlekes whether Orla b'chutzlort is midirabbanon, or it's halacha l'moshi mitzvah. So if it's only midirabbanon, so pashteitzach doesn't, you can't say he's pata from the army. If you assume that it's halacha l'moshe misinai, so then you have a further machlekes, a major machlekes on the first daf in Kiddushin. There's a machlekes, the Tesis and the Rambam, when you say Orla applies in Chutzlards, Orla is only the first 3 years. What about the fourth year, the din of Neter Revai? That also applies in Chutzlards. So they say, no, that's how Tesis writes, Bekama Mekaimis. Places in Brachas and in Kiddushin and other places, they write that just like Orla applies to Chutzlords, the fourth year is also Orla. Neter Revai is also a branch of the din of Orla. And the Rambam insists that they're two different dinim. Orla applies in Chutzlords and Neter Revai does not apply. There's no din of Neter Revai. So you argue, you say, in Chutzlords, how can you say, Bela Chilolo? The whole idea of Chilol. Right, if you all like Taisvis, that the din of Revai also applies in Chutzlar, so then it would have been possible to consider it, but probably not, because the Rishonim says Bana Bais is only a mile in Eretz Yisrael. So not the Kerem is probably also only a mile in Eretz Yisrael. Hey, Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't make a difference whether you got married in Eretz Yisrael or Chutzlar. But you see from the Rishonim that they draft the Jewish men into the army, even if they don't live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish men all over the world belong in the army, if you need an army. So the Mishnah says the following people are not exempt. Let's say he planted four different fruit-bearing trees, but he didn't plant five. So the Mishnah says you have to have a minimum of five trees that have to be a little bit close to each other. If you have the five trees that are scattered about all Eretz Yisrael in five different locations, that's not called a kerem. It has to be a certain maximum distance from each other that they should be mitzur to each other, that it should be called a kerem. Or if you planted five trees, but they're not fruit-bearing trees. Vaita is not called a kerem. I plant mahogany, or some kind of wood that doesn't bear fruit. It's just for building, for making furniture. So that's not called a kerem. Ahamachzer's gerushasai. A man was married to this woman, and then he got divorced, then he remarries her. So the pasuk says, kikach ishisha chadosha. He has to take a woman who's new to him. If he marries an almana or a grusha who was married to someone else, but this is the first time I'm marrying her, that's called an isha chadasha. But if I was married to her and I got divorced, I have a classmate of mine from college, he's married to the same wife for the third time. They became tzikrik, then they got divorced, then he remarried. Then he got tzikrik the second time, then he got divorced, then he remarried the third time. Yeah. So if you remarry your wife, that's not called Eres Isha Chadosha. The pasuk says Kikach Ish Isha Chadosha. What if he married a woman Be'isr? It's the first time he ever married her, but he married her Be'isr. Let's say an almona marries a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha Machalutza marries a Kohen Hedyot. A Grusha is an Isa Deraisa, that's a pasuk in Chumash. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. Chalutza is only Midirabbanon. Min HaTorah, a Kohen is allowed to marry a Chalutza. Midirabbanon, he's not allowed to. So the Mishnah says one is married Be'isr, he's not potter from the army. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. Only if he's married behetim. Or let's say you have...
The Kiddushin
is Chal. He has to give a get.
Afal
Pichain, he goes out to war, yeah. Because he's married to Issa. He's not allowed to live with it. Kiddushin Achal, not the B'dievet, it's Mutter. B'dievet is not Mutter. The Kiddushin Achal, he has to give her a get. He's not allowed to live with her. But since it's Bavera, so the Gemara is Mamait that he doesn't have the tour of serving in the army. That's the Gemara is going to discuss that. The Gemara is going to discuss that's a machlekes hatanoim. When it says Mihu isha sheyari veracha levav, so the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoim. So one Tana says yari me'aveira shebiyadai. Other Tanoim say no. Any yochel amad bikishrei hamalchama. He's just going to fall to pieces. He's very nervous. He's going to collapse from nerves.
Yeah.
equivalent of Shabbat.
He obviously wasn't afraid of the Aveda.
What?
He obviously wasn't afraid of the Aveda.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you're Sephardi and you marry the daughter of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish father, with that, where if you're Mekadi, Eino Yotz.
The rabbinate will have to pask him what the. Oh, Min Bidi Evanim, this is like Taitse. No, that's because it's a Sophic. No, that's because we have a Sophic. No, the Gemara has a Sophic. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Gioris. What if there's a girl whose father is a Nochri and the mother is a Yisraeli? So the girl is not a Geirus, she doesn't need Geirus, but the father is a Goy. So she doesn't have a Yichas at all to the father. Al Pidin, she's not related to the father. So the Gemara in Yevamah says a Sophic, is a Kohen permitted to marry a girl who is a Akum Habal Bas Yisrael and they have a daughter, is she allowed to marry a Kohen? So that's a Sophic in the Gemara. So in Shulchan Aruch, so there are different opinions. So the Chacham Avadya follows the Rambam, holds that it's at the Gemara. And the accepted psak for Ashkenazim is not so. We paskin that nisofik, she's not allowed to marry Kohen. And b'dieved, if they did get married, loy teitzei, they're allowed to live together. Not just that you need to get. No, not only the kedusha nachal. They're permitted to live together because it was a sofik in the Gemara. Why, if it's a sofik, why all of a sudden is a muta? It sounds like it's only midirabbanon. The whole shad is only midirabbanon. If it's a sofik deraisa, it doesn't make sense. Why should it be in this is loy teitzei? So Moshe has a whole tshuva. A very difficult shuv explaining. No, there's a deal in Achrenim whether the Gemara is Ibaya, the Gemara is Sufik by the girl whose father is a Goy and the mother is Jewish, whether it's a Sufik on a level of Deraisa Derabbana. So Ramosha has a whole shuv to explain why it's possible even to understand that it's a Sufik Deraisa and still in this is Leitetzin. Very shvera shuv. He tries to give a hezbeh, how could be so on the level of Deraisa? The Pashtus says it's a dead giveaway, that it's only Derabbana.
So he would be close to that according to Ravadi's Hezbollah, and according to Rashi Ganazim saying in Nisis Lotate say that
you're not going to have a draft board that's going to go with Sfeikas. They'll ask the chief rabbi, and the chief rabbi will have to give up Saki. That's Mutter Otzasa. We don't know what the din is, because the Gemara in Yivam is out of Sufik. When we'll have a Jewish army with a strong Bezen, so they'll have to paskanize the Shaili, the yes or no. We won't leave it hanging. His man is there, it's hanging. So there are different opinions in Sufik. Yeah. Or you have, let's say, Mamzeris and Nisina Li Yisrael. A Jewish man is permitted to marry a Gerusha and a Chalutza, but a Jewish man is not a kosher, the Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Mamzeris. A Nesina. Nesina is also. A Nesina means one of the Zainumish in his Gairu. The reason why we call them Nesinim, because it says, Vayitnem Yoshua Lachot Vayetzim Elishua Vimayim. Right. What happened was that the members of the Zainumish disguised themselves. They came to Yoshua Benun and they said, that they come from a faraway country. They told a lie. They said they come from a faraway country. They don't live in Eretz Yisrael, but they understand the Jews want to conquer the whole world. So what should we want to make peace with you? What should we do that you shouldn't kill us? So he said, where do you come from? He said, they come from far away from Africa. So he said, no problem. So they made a peace treaty with them. They're not going to kill them. And after the peace treaty was made, then Yeshua ben Nun discovered that they told him a lie. That, yeah, they were from the Zionumis. So the Pasuk says, Yeshua ben Nun couldn't, the din was really hachrim tachrimim. He's supposed to kill all the Zionumis. You're not supposed to make peace with them. But it'll be a chil Hashem. He swears to them, it shouldn't really be a chil Hashem, because they gave him false information. But the Goyim don't care about that. Whenever the Arabs attack the Jews and the Jews' response, they say the Jews are at fault over there. So over here, what Yeshua ben Nun is going to put an advertisement in a newspaper is going to say, they fooled us, and that's why we swore that we're not going to touch them. So who cares the territory that the Jews are going to give? So they're going to be angry at Yeshua ben Nun. The Jews made an agreement, and they violated their agreement. So the Pasuk says, "Kinish b'lahem rashi ho'eda," because they swore to them, even though the oath was under false pretenses, so it would constitute a chil Hashem, so they didn't kill them. It's like yesh karach b'yar chacham lakadob min ator b'shei v'al tase. The mitzvah is hachrim tachrim, and we're supposed to wipe them out. And here they were afraid it would make a chil Hashem, so they didn't. So they wanted to convert, so fine, so he allowed them to convert, but they wouldn't. It says, "Vayitim yoshu l'chot v'yetz mil shua v'mayim." They did. They rendered services for the Jewish people, and the Gemara calls that whole group Nesinim. Zainumis Shenizgairu. Zainumis he's supposed to kill. So how can you have Zainumis Shenizgairu? If it turns out b'mikre that you didn't kill him, how can it be? Because they fooled you and you swore to them.
The
Gemara assumes the Geris Ischal, that they were Jewish, yeah. So they normally they would have been, Gershon is guy is allowed to marry a Jewish girl. So the Gemara says no, the Nesinim are not allowed to marry. So that's a big shaila. Rashi and Tosfos in a few places in Shas have a machlekes whether Nesinim, whether the Issa to marry Nesinim is an Issa deraisa and Issa derabbanan. Rashi always writes it's only an Issa derabbanan. What's the nature of the Issa derabbanan? So Rashi writes because Vayitna Yishua Chot Tveyetz Meshavi Mayim Shulbanan was Gazalehem Avdus. So it's like a Jewish man marrying a Shivcha Knainis. It was like a Jewish woman marrying an Eved Knaini. That's not permissible. A Yisrael or Yisraelis are not permitted to marry an Eved or a Shivcha. And the Nesinim had the status of Eved of Shivcha. That's what Yeshua was Gazalehem Avdus, so that's why it was also to marry them. Yeah, we don't have any Nesinim today. We don't have any Nesinim. And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, no, that Nesinim is an Issa deraisa. Not an Issa derabbanan. When the Pasuk says, lo yisus chatan bam, you're not allowed to intermarry the Zainums, what does it mean? So Tosfos quotes our Gemara Yavam, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to marry them b'nachriyusam. So what's for loshon lo yisus chatein? There's no tvisas kiddushin. What do you mean? You're not allowed to have chasana. The chasana is not chal, it's meaningless. It's, you say you shouldn't be mezana with a shiksa. How can you say lois is chaten? You can't have. You're not allowed to have a chasana. The chasana is not chal. Oh, so one opinion in the Gemara is that the pasuk means you live with a nachri is derech chasnas. You're leading a life. They're officially married. Right. Derech kabbalah. Right. And the Gemara and Tosfos claims the maskanas a Gemara. Rashi holds not so. Tosfos claims the maskanas a sugin yivamis was lois is chaten goes lachash and is gairo. Lachash and his gairu bin achri yosam is a different isa. You're not allowed to live with a nachris. But lachash and his gairu, Tosfos claims that's an isa deraisa. And the sinim means zainum, and his gairu is an isa deraisa.
Which were the groups that they said about them that they, when they did a mitzvah, they were very didactic, they did it better than
the kusim.
Oh, the kusim. Kusim
is a different story. In Sefer Melachim, it says that they moved a group of non Jews from the city Kusa into Eretz Israel. The pasuk says that they were attacked by lions, which apparently was an unusual, very rare thing in Eretz Yisrael in those times. There are no lions in Eretz Yisrael today. There are no lions. So they made up the whole story. These goyim decided that the Jewish God is the God in Eretz Yisrael, so they better convert to the Jewish religion, or the lions are going to keep on attacking them in Eretz Yisrael. They were never attacked in Chutz La'aretz by lions, so they imagined the whole story. So they converted to Judaism and the lions stopped attacking them. But the Pasuk says that when they converted, they continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Tosfos explains the initial conversion was worthless. There was no Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. The major point of conversion is not to worship Avodah Zarah. So they're still worshiping Avodah Zarah. So the whole conversion was meaningless. But the Gemara says so many generations later, in the days of the Tanoim, they were observing some of the mitzvahs and others they were not observing. So the Gemara had a whole machlekes, historical machlekes. How are you supposed to understand that? The original conversion that they did was meaningless. Should we assume that by osmosis they picked up some of the mitzvahs, but they're still the zelba goyim that they were from day number one? The kusim ageri arayis, the only conversion they had was because of the lions, and that geris because of the arayis, the lions, was not valid. There was no kabbalas on mitzvahs, so the goyim gemurim. Well, no, we assume that the Kusim Agerim is, we assume historically there must have been a second conversion. And second conversion must have been with Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. And they really have to observe everything, and then they only observed, as the years went by, they only observed Torah Shebichsav, and they didn't observe Torah Shebalpeh. So that was the accepted opinion. That was a big dispute in the days of the Tanoim, historical machlekes. The accepted opinion was that Kusim Agerim is, that they must have converted a second time. And then Reb Meir sent his Talmidim to snoop around to find out what's doing with the Kusim, and they discovered that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So Reb Meir, the Gemara has a Lashon in the beginning of Chulin, and Afhei Davov, so the Gemara has a Lashon, L'zazim isham ha-chasom ka'akum gemurim l'chol divrem. Reb Meir put together a Bezdin. They declared that from now on all the Kusim have a din like Goyim Gemurim, because they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. But Mikar Adin, they really have a din like Jews. They really Geri Yemis, but because he caught them worshipping Avodah Zarah, so if his guys are there, they should have the din like going. and that's a big machlekes. There's a mean bein lahakal bein lahachmir. The Besdin can declare that a group of people who have floated away so far, let's say Reform Jews, I think floated away further from Judaism than the Kusim did. The Kusim never intermarried. Kusim kept the Shabbos, basically, Shabbos Yontif. They didn't have same-sex marriages. They observed, basically, they observed came out like a conservative Jew. They observed most of the dinim in the Torah. Anything in the Chumash, they observed. And still the Gemara says, the Chachamim declared that dinim ka'akum, because they floated away so far away from mainstream Judaism. So they declared dinim ka'akum. So some Rishonim hold, the Rambam hold, that is Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer. The Besdin can declare on a group of people who are so far away from mainstream Judaism, they can declare they have a din of a goy, and they have the din of a goy, Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer. And other Rishonim say, no, it's only Lahachmer, not Lahakal. Zeres HaShvatim also, right? Also, the Gemara said that's Taka Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer. The lost 10 tribes, so the Gemara in Yevam is the end of the first parak. So one opinion in the Gemara is that if a goy is mekadosh and isha b'zman hazeh, choshishim a Jewish woman, so it's enkidush and topsin. A goy is mekadosh a Jewish woman is enkidush and topsin. So the Gemara starts off the discussion, the last daf in the first parak in Yevamos, that nochri shekidush isha b'zman hazeh, choshishim lekidush and shema me'aseres hashvatim hu. Maybe it's from the lost 10 tribes, maybe his mother's mother, all the way back, was really Jewish, and therefore maybe he's Jewish and he doesn't realize it. So then the Gemara says, but we don't accept that opinion. Why? Because there's a pasuk in Treyaser that describes what the Aseres HaShvatim did. Bashem Bagodu, they rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibonim Zorim Yoladu, they intermarried, and they left the whole religion, so they forfeit their Kedushas Yisrael. So there the Gemara says, even Lahakel, that if a descendant of the Aseres HaShvatim will be Mekadosh and Isha, we say, En Choshishim LeKedushim. Even though I know he's a direct descendant from the Aseres HaShvatim, I can use him for my Shabbos Goy. I can sell the chametz to him. His mamish dina ka'akum bein lahakal bein lahachmen. So some rishonim hold that's only agzeres hakasuv in treyoser v'ashem ba'godu kibarim zarim elod. That pasuk is only on aseres hashvatim. Doesn't apply to anybody else. And the Rambam holds that it applies even to the kusim. The language in the Gemara is identical by both. It says lozasim isham hashasam ka'akum gemurim uchol divreim. The Gemara has that lashon by the aseres hashvatim and also by the kusim. So the Rambam understood that it's the same din. Right, so that means an individual Jew who sins retains the Kedushas Yisrael. But it was a whole group of Jews who floated so far away from the mainstream Judaism that they don't look like Jews. So that if the Besdin declares that they should be Dina Ka'akum, so according to the Rambam, they become Akum Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer. Mamish, they lose the Kedushas Yisrael. And there's even a further opinion that any Jew who converts, the Shita Sagaidim, any Jew who converts loses the Kedushas Yisrael.
Doesn't that happen by Mele?
We hope it doesn't happen by itself, because then the Reform already floated further away than the Kusim ever did. So we hope and pray that it only applies when the Besdin declared, if you have a Besdin who declares it, then they can invoke that pasuk. Then they say the pasuk in Treyaser applies to this group of people. We haven't had a Besdin declaring on the Reform Jews.
But after Rebbe made the declaration, somebody's married to Messinas onto a
Kusim.
Does he have to divorce in it?
Yeah. Sure, he has to divorce.
But Bisman, what he did, they considered the Jews.
They were Jewish, but after he made the Gzeris, they're no longer Jewish. So according to the Rambam, that is Bein Lahakal Bein Lahachmer, so you don't even need a get. According to the other Rishonim, it's only Lahachmer, not Lahakal, so I'll have to give her a get. He's not allowed to remain with his wife. So here the Mishnah gives you, this appears in a lot of times in Mishnah. So you want to give a mashal of a marriage that's prohibited, so you say, Kohen Gadol marries a Almana, a Kohen Hedyad marries a Grusha v'chalutza, or a regular Jew marries Mamzeres and Nesina. Mamzeres for sure is a Pasuk in Chumash. If a person marries Mamzeres and a Nesina, means one who married the Zayin Umash and his Gairu, because it says Vayitnim Yeshua, that's why they're called Nesinim. So that's a famous machlekes, Rashi and Tosis. Rashi holds Nesinim is only Midirabbanan, and Tosis holds no. Tosis claims the Maskonas, Agamon Yavamis, then Nisinim is an Issa Deraisa. And the Issa doesn't matter who's the Mamzeres and Nisina. Whether the wife is a Mamzeres and Nisina married to a Jewish person, or the husband is a Mamzer or a Nosin married to a Jewish girl. The marriage is prohibited. Don't matter who. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. That's only a Kohen is not. Let's say there's a Kohen and she's allowed to marry a Gorish. That's not a problem. She's permitted to marry a Gorish. Or a Kohenis is permitted to marry a Chalutz, a man who did Chalitz. The Kohenis doesn't have any restrictions at all. But as far as the Issa Mamzeres and the Sina, that works in both directions. It says, Bas Yisrael, a Mamzer l'Nosin. If the Mamzer l'Nosin is over 20 and he's Jewish and they should draft him into the army, and then he happens to be married to an Isser, to a woman, Baveri, married to Bas Yisrael, so that's Asa. Either an Issa Derais and Issa Rabbanon. So he's not going to be Potter from the army. Then it says, Loha Yechayza. He's not Potter at all. He's not Potter. He goes in combat unit. There's no Ptur at all. Then the Mishnah is going to have that there are some people who are even Potter. They don't even have to be Misap Gemayim and Mazim. They don't even have to be Mistak the Misadrochim. Noki Elebes Roshon Achas. That's going to be the end of the Mishnah. We'll get there. Then the Mishnah adds on a few cases. Rabbi Yudai Meir. We said, just like it says, the only time you potter from the draft is if you marry a girl who's a new wife to you. If you're machzik grushasa, I was married to her, I got divorced, and I remarry her. So then the Mishnah says, he is drafted in the army. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the same is true by bona bayis. It has to be bona bayis chadosh. What if he had a house here in Eretz Yisrael? He had a house, he knocked it down, and he rebuilt the same house exactly the same as before. If he made the house bigger and broader, Seichel dictates, why did he knock it down? Because he's going to make it bigger and better. What if he thought he had a lot of money, he knocked it down, then he lost all of his money. He's just going to rebuild it. Al-Machon is going to be exactly the same as it was before. The Midah HaRishayna said, that's not called a Bayis Chadosh. That's not called a Bayis Chadosh. Just like it says, Ki Kachisha Chadosha, so the bottom Bayis also has to be a Bayis Chadosh. This is not called a Bayis Chadosh. If he rebuilds the same old house, and Rashi explains Al-Machona means if he didn't add anything else, just the same size as it was before, then isn't it? Rabbi Leza has a further Chiddush. There are certain locations in Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure there are locations in Chutz Loretz also, but the whole din of Bona Bais V'Lachanach only applies in Eretz Yisrael. If what? Yeah, the next one, right. So Rabbi Leizer says, Af habayne beis levenim b'sharon, in the Sharon area in Eretz Yisrael, so brick homes didn't last too long. Rashi says, they had to rebuild them twice every 7 years. Every 3-4 years, they had to rebuild the whole thing. So Rabbi Leizer says in the Mishnah, that if a person builds a house that we know in advance is not going to last too long, every house is going to collapse ultimately. You don't need that the house should last for 300 years. But it has to be a house that's considered normal. Normal. And the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the houses don't have to be rebuilt every 3-4 years. So if you build a house in Beis Levenim, a brick home, in the Sharon area, because we know it's not going to last too long, so that's not called Shel Kayom. And then the Mishnah says, in the third category, the Elu, the following people, Mishnah Zazimim Kaimam, they don't even go, L'sakana Sadrachim, L'sapak Maim HaMazim. Who is that? Bona Bayis V'chanochai. He built a house, and he made the Chanukah Sabayis, but he didn't live in the house for a whole year. Bihu Ishisha, Bona Bayis V'loi Chanochai, Yelach V'yoshev L'beisa, means, Lo Chanochai, he didn't make the party, plus, he didn't live there for a whole year. Or not the Kerem V'chilalo. From the time you plant the vineyard, so the first three, you put them in the army. Not that Karen, but Lo, he didn't yet get to the fourth year, so you don't draft him in the combat units, but he has to help out in the war effort to drive a truck, to deliver Maim HaMazon, to be Mesakan HaSadrachim. What if not that Karen Vichilalo? He planted a vineyard 4 years ago, and this is already the fourth year, and the war breaks out. So he was pointed in at the Revive the fourth year. If the fourth year didn't end yet, he's still in the middle of the fourth year. The fourth year is always going to end on Tu B'Shvat, is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanus. So if it's not yet Tu B'Shvat at the end of the terminating the fourth year, even not the Karen Vichelelo, he already was Paidah the Netter Avayit, but it's not yet the end of the fourth year. He's Potter from the drift completely. He doesn't even go to Sakan Sadrochim. Or Noises HaRisasoi, or if he has Nisuin, Miyuish Eres Isha, Velolakoch, he did Eresin, but he didn't do Nisuin. Then he's Potter from the combat service, but he has to help out in the war effort to drive a truck and to fix the highways. What if Noises HaRisasoi, he did Nisuin, so it says the whole year he's Potter. Nokia lebeis shana echos. Yeah.
What does it mean if when Tu B'Shvat comes, so you automatically have to go, or you have to wait for the next call?
Probably the next call. They don't send in soldiers all the time. They have the units all worked out. They may not call any more soldiers. They probably determine how many soldiers they need. Unless it's an ongoing war that keeps on going forever and forever. In recent years, they can't have an ongoing war. To have an ongoing war, the Medinas would always lose the war. They can't. They have a whole country to worry about. So they have to have all the wars have to be quick. Maybe in the days of the Tanakh, they had wars that lasted for years and years. Now they don't have such a thing. Yeah. Akoina says Yevimta, we had before in the Mishnah, that before we were discussing it, the Rama quoted the Rishalmi. That if I marry the girl, I'm a Kaddish Deisha, after the war broke out, then I'm not Potter from the army. Even the Rambam even had a bigger Kiddush. I gave the girl a ring in the middle of the last year in college, and I said, Harei Mekudesh is the day after graduation. And the war broke out in the middle, so the Rambam says, you're not Potter from the army, because the Kiddushim was only Chal, the Kiddushim only took effect after the war started. The war started a week before graduation. Even though he gave her the ring 6 months before that, that's not called marrying the girl before. That's considered marrying the girl after the war broke out.
It says, Asher Eras Yisharol Lekocha. Doesn't Eris mean Erisin? There was no Nisuin according to the...
Right, so if you had only Erisin, you didn't do Nisuin yet, so you put her from the combat service, but you have to help driving the truck and fixing the highway, as long as not combat. But if Eres Isha Vinosa, if he not only did Eres and he did Nisuin also, so then it says you don't draft him at all. He doesn't even help in to drive the trucks.
The case you just gave was the guy in the dormitory. I thought that was the case of Eresin. He gave her.
Eresin, right. Eresin, you're Potter from the army, from the combat, but in this case, not Potter.
Why?
Because it's considered that he married after the war broke out. Marry after the war broke out, you're not Potter. Only if he married before the war broke out. So that's what someone brought up last week. The Mishnah says earlier, Shemeres Yavam was Isha Hiknalom in Hashemayim. He didn't give her the ring to say Harei Mekudesh Esli. His brother died, even the brother, let's say, was in the army. The brother died in battle. So then, all of the, let's say, the brother who was killed in the army had a few brothers. So all the brothers are Potter from serving in the combat unit now. Even though the brother was killed in the middle of the Muhammad, if you'd be Mekadesh and Isha after the war broke out, then the Rambam quotes to Yerushalmi, you're not Potter. But over here, he didn't do it. The brother was killed, some in Hashemayim, Isha Hiknalom in Hashemayim. So then the din is that they are Potter. All of the surviving brothers are Potter from the army. So, that's why Eras.
If we assume that they are in the army, because they didn't have a tour,
right.
They can now leave.
Right.
I think they now have to join the army also. Someone that the family fell in battle. Yeah. Yeah. Brothers don't have to serve in combat.
But by us, we don't. You see, the government has a right to make whatever exemptions they want. Like in America, they have an exemption if a guy's an entertainer, if he's a professor, a college student, because they don't need everybody in the army. Because they have such a big population. So you have more than enough people in the army in America. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have the basic people mentioned in the Chumash. Those people are Potter from the army. But then you have the Israeli government can decide we have more than enough people, we don't have to draft Yeshiva Bach. And there is no such din, you don't draft the Yeshiva Bach. That was Ben-Gurion decided. He spoke to Chazanish, and he convinced them they shouldn't draft Yeshiva Bach. And strictly speaking, the din is you don't draft Talmid HaChamim in the army. Every Yeshiva Bach is a Talmid HaChamim. Not exactly. But just like in America, they don't draft entertainers, they don't draft artists, they don't draft musicians. They want the culture of America to survive. So in Arizona, they want the Jewish culture of the Jewish people to survive. So they don't draft Yeshiva Bach. Probably don't draft students also. They have a whole bunch of other exemptions. The government can make up whatever exemptions they want. The Mishnah is not talking about those. So you say, if a brother was killed in the army, all the others are potter. That's the Israeli government decided to make such a p'tur. Okay, but that's not Al Pidin. That's the Heskem Medina. The Medina can make whatever rules they want.
World War II, when four brothers died on one ship.
Celibate brothers.
Yeah, any government can make up whatever they want. That's ganz fine. But the Mishnah is only discussing what the din is. So the din is that if the brother died and he left no children, and the Yavamas, if the brother who was killed in the war left children, and there's no Zikuka Liyavam, so it's not called Eres Isha V'loy L'Kocha, so the other brothers will not be putter from the drift. But if the brother who was killed in the army left no children, and his brothers, whether they're single or married, doesn't make a difference. So all the other brothers, this Yavam is kuka to all of them. So all of the five brothers, let's say there are six brothers, one was killed in the war. So all the five brothers will be putter from the army now. Aye, but the p'tur happened after the war broke out, but he didn't do it. If he marries a girl after the war broke out, you don't have a p'tur. Even if he gave her the ring before, he said, Harit Megadesh, it's only 6 months. And the war broke out in between. So the Rambam says, based on the Yerushalmi also, he's not potter from the army. But here, it's not that he married her. It's what the Gemara calls, Isha Hikdalom and Hashemayim, he'll be potter. But that's all the five surviving brothers are potter, because when the man dies leaving no children, and his wife is Zekuka Liyavam, so it's considered as if she has Erisin with all of the surviving brothers. The minute one of them does Yibum, so she's only married to him. She's no longer any zika to the others. And once you do the Yibum, then it's considered like Nesua. So once she's a Nesua, then the one who did the Yibum not only is potter from the combat unit, he's potter even from driving the trucks and paving the highways. That's what we said. If Noisei Arisasei is in Gansen potter.
What if he says, if war breaks out, you marry to me from now?
So probably she'll be potter from the, he'll be potter from the army because he married her before. Strictly speaking, it should be. Yeah. Regular Kiddushin all the time. But it comes out that they were married from before. Yeah. You can beat the system. Okay. Good.
Does it matter if the guy had other homes before or had other vineyards, other wives?
I don't think so. Even if he has other wives, if this wife is Beheter, and he just has Erisin with her, he has there any Nisun with her, the Shana Rishina, they still Pata, even if he has other wives. I think so. I don't think it makes a difference. So that's what the Mishnah says. If she's a Kukali Yavam, then it's like Erisin parallel to Erisin. They're not living together yet. So all of their surviving five brothers are all Pata from the army. But Hakoina says yes Yevimta, but if he does Yibum, then it says he's Potter Lagamre. Shenema, Noki Yelebeisa Shana Echas. The Pasuk only says when you get married. If he did Nisuin, then he's Potter the whole year. So the Gemara comments, how did you figure out that if he built a home, the Hanochai, but he didn't live there for a whole year yet? On that the Kerem Mechilolo, and the fourth year is not up yet. He didn't yet come to Bishvat. Of the end of the Tu B'Shvat is 4.5 months after Tishrei. So it didn't yet come Tu B'Shvat, terminating the fourth year. How do you figure that out, that he's potter even from fixing the highways? So the Gemara darshans it by reading in between the lines. Pasuk only talks about one who got married with Nisun. Noki Lebeso Shana Echos. So the Tanoim darshan Lebeso, Zebeso, if he built a home. Yeah, is that an extra word? Is that karma? If he built a, if he planted a kerem, he didn't yet use it for the whole fourth year. The pasuk shot, the whole pasuk goes on ishta. The whole pasuk goes on ishta. But the tanoim are darshaning the extra words in the pasuk that all three have the same din. Not only nisuin is pata legamri from the army, even bana bayis v'chanocha, but he didn't live there for the whole year after he built the house. And not the Kerem Mechilolo, it's already the fourth year after he planted the vineyard. And he was already paided in at the Revai. Chilolo means he was paided in at the Revai. But it's not yet the end of the fourth year. He's putter from the army, legamre, even from serving by driving the trucks, fixing the highway. He's putter till the end of the fourth year, till Tu B'Shvat, after the end of the fourth year. That's how the Tanaim darshan on the pasuk. Then it says, "V'simach esish tasha lokach." The Gemara "simach esish tazish tasha lokach lahavias yevim toy." Even though he didn't marry her, it's he shehikna lo manashamayim. Still, once he does the yibum, so he's pata legamre. So in that case, it says those people emesapkemayim and mosem emesaktem esadrochem. Not only do they not serve in combat units, they don't even help out in the war effort at all. Yeah, well, these pterim is only mechemes erushes. That's right. Yeah, the bezdin has to. You can only go to war mechemes erushes if the bezdin agadol gives permission. The bezdin agadol has to calculate in advance. Do they think there are enough soldiers in the Jewish army to win the war? If they think they don't have enough soldiers, so let them not give permission to the government to declare war.
He can overcome the last year also, or in other words, if
Kana says Yevimta, he's potter even from serving in the non-combat units.
But even if he did it after,
that serving. I don't know. I mean, what if he was Kana says Yevimta after the war began already?
Serving.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I have to look in the Rambam because all the Babli I don't think talks about that. I think this is all the Rambam quoting Yerushalmi. I don't know.
Different.
Yeah, it is different. It is different. On the one hand, he decided to do the Yibam. On the other hand, he was Mukhif to do the Yibam. He was Mukhif to do it, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, what is this Perek doing in this Masechta? So we explained why. Because Eila Namorim, the seventh Perek, begins which mitzvahs of Amira can be fulfilled in translation, which can only be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. So the Mishnah says the Moshoch Mechama, when he recites the Parsha and the Chumash, he has to recite it Kichsavoy. So the question is it considered? He has to say the way it says in the Chumash. So what do you mean Kichsavoy? Kichsavoy means only in the original Hebrew, or in translation is also called Kichsavoy. So there are some Kriya Shema we pass can may be fulfilled in translation. It is called Kichsavoy. And Shemani Asrei for sure can be said in translation. Kiddush and Abdullah, davening, he can say in translation. So here the Mishnah says the Moshoch Muhammad has to be davke in Hebrew. So now the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to discuss exactly which parts of the Parsha does the Moshoch Muhammad say, which parts are not recited by him. Do we have a Chumash here? So the Gemara points out, where is it? There are three different parts to the Parsha. Where's the Parsha? Yeah, where is that? Dvarim where?
Dvarim Chof.
Let's see, Dvarim Chof. A few places, different dinim. Al Melchama.
Shishin Shoftin.
Oh, that's it. Shishin Shoftin. That's it. What is in the middle? Middle of Shishin. Middle of Shishin. It's the first pasuk in chapter Chof. As the soldiers are about to leave the borders of Eretz Yisrael, v'nigash ha-kohen with the hey ha-yidil. Who is the ha-kohen? So we had the Gemara in the previous that said the kohen has miyuchad l'kach. That's the Moshoch Muhammad. He's not a kohen gadol. He's not a kohen hedyed. And in between, v'diber el ha'om v'amar alehem. So pasuk gimel obviously is the kohen. Moshoch Muhammad is speaking. So he says Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Dalet. The Amar Alehem the Kohen Moshoch Muhammad says, Shema Yisrael, Atem Kreif Mahayom La Muhammad Aleivechem, Al Yerech Levatchem, Al Tiru, Al Tachpesu, Al Tarzim Pneem, Kershem Alekech, Mahalech Imochem, Lachem Lachem, Imaivechem, Nashi Aschem. He says that in Hebrew. Then it says, Pasuk Kei, Vidibru Hashotrim El Ha'om Lemor. Then the next pasuk K. Mihuish pasuk Vav. Mihuish Hashanat Ekam Lachilo. Pasuk Zayim. Mihuish Hashair Asisha V'Loi Lakacha. V'Yecheshacha Yikachena. So you have three psukim. It says V'Dibra Hashoftim, V'Dibra Hashotrim. The police say. Then it says pasuk Ches, and pasuk Ches says So what's this? There are three parts. The first part, that says the Meshuch Muhammad says. Then the next three psukim, Hey Vav Zayin, it says V'dibra Hashotrim. So the Kaim Meshuch Muhammad is not speaking anymore. But this is, we always assume that the Meshuch Muhammad says that. Why does it say V'dibra Hashotrim, these three psukim? Then it says V'yosra Hashotrim L'daber Ha'am, they should add on V'yosfu Hashotrim, they should. So why doesn't it put it together? Why does it say V'yosra Hashotrim? Let it say the Shotrim say all four, Miyushabana Bayesh Hashanat Hakerim Eresish V'lelekach Miyushayari V'rach Alevel. Why does it switch in the middle of Yasa Shotrim? So the Gemara says the Pshat is the following. The first section, the first two psukim, Shema Yisrael Atem Kreim Hayom LaMuchama, that's Pasuk Gimel. And Pasuk Dal Ki Hashem Alekech Ma'alechim Mochim Leilochim Lechem Moshiachem. Only the Meshuch Muhammad says in Hebrew, in the original Hebrew, and the Shoitra doesn't repeat it. I have to, Meruba Deruba of the soldiers didn't hear a word. He doesn't have a loudspeaker. So how are they going to hear? So the Kohen Moshech Muhammad has to go from one group to the other, to the other, to the other, and he gives these two psukim the drush. The next three psukim that say B'dibra Hashotrim, they don't start on their own. The Moshech Muhammad says, Mihu Yisha She'er Asisha, Mihu Yisha She'ban Abayis, Mihu Yisha She'not Tekerim, the three exemptions. The Kohen Moshech Muhammad says it, and then the Shotrim are the ones who go around and repeat it. And then the last pasuk, V'yosva Hashotrim L'dabra Hamisha Shayori V'rach Alevav, the Kohen Moshech Muhammad doesn't say that at all. Only the Shotrim say that. That's how the Gemara explains the three sections in the drushes that they give as before they're about to start the war. Because otherwise you don't understand why is it broken down into three units, and there must be three different dinim of Kriya. Let's see, Tanu Rabbanan right after the Mishnah, V'dibra Hashotrim. Yochad Varm Shalatzma maybe means that they start the drasha. Has nothing to do with the Kaim Moshech Muhammad. No, it can't be. Kishuayim, when the Pasuk says three psukim later, V'yosra Hashotrim, L'daber Ha'am, Hare Dvarm Shalatzma Mamur. That final Pasuk, Mihu Yishayari, V'rach Alevav, that they say on their own, the Kaim Moshech Muhammad didn't say it before them. Hamani Mekai Medibra Hashotrim, so what about the three psukim in between, Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin? No, first the Moshech Muhammad says it, and the Shotrim repeated. And what about the first two psukim? Shmaya time kray mayam al tiru atachlasu ki Hashem alakach misalach imach. Only the Meshuch Muhammad is going to say it. The Shotrim not going to say it. But who's going to hear him? How can you have thousands of soldiers here? Moshe says no. The Meshuch Muhammad goes to each group and he says it. The Shotrim don't say it over. That's how they worked out the three sections. Amani mekayim b'dibra Shotrim b'dibra Meshuch Muhammad kasa medaber. Meshuch Muhammad says it, and the Shotrim repeat it. Okay, tzad. Exactly how do you arrange it? For the three psukim, mihoish, and so on. So the Gemara now says we have three brises. Each one contradicts each other. Tani Chod, the one brise says, Meshuch Muhammad says everything once, and the Shotrim say it over a second time. You have a second brise that contradicts his. The Kohen Moshech Muhammad says it once and he says it a second time. He goes to each battalion, he gives the same drasha. The Shotrim do not help him. The Tanya Yidachim, we have a third brisa that totally contradicts the first two brises. Shoita Medaba v'Shoita Mashmir. The Kohen Moshech Muhammad doesn't say a word. Only the police say. How can it be? Amar Abaye, there's no contradiction. Okay, said, how do you work out all the three? The psukim themselves have three sections. The first section, V'dibra Ha'am, the first two psukim, Gimel and Dalet, all in the Kohen Moshech Muhammad says. Okay, so v'nigash hakoin ad v'dibru hashotrim till two psukim later. The koin medaber v'koin mashmei. The first two psukim only the koin Moshech Muhammad says. The dibru ad v'yosfu. The three psukim mihu ish ayoriv mihu ish asher bonan bayis asher not tekerem she'er asisha. That's koin medaber v'shoita mashmei. And the last pasuk mihu ish ayoriv v'rach alevav. Maybe Yosfu Yelech Shoytim Daber v'Shoytim Mashmei. The Kohen Moshech Muhammad doesn't say it at all. Only the Shoytim say. That's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk. That's the way the Pesukim are broken up. That Gemara is going to comment on the Mishnah. How did the Mishnah know that it says in the Chumash Mihu Ish Asher Bona Bayis V'Loch Hanocha? So the Mishnah says even if he got it Birusha, even if he bought it, it doesn't say that in the Chumash. In the Chumash says Asher Bona Bayis. He built the house. Or he commissioned the building of the house. How do you say that even if he got a Birusha? Tana Rabbanan, it says in Hebraism, Asher Bona Bayis, ain't the Elo, Asher Bona. Maybe the pasuk only applies his potter from the army. If he built the house, he commissioned the building of the house, he's building up Eretz Yisrael, so he's potter from the army. How do you know Lokach, if he bought it from someone else? The Yorash, his rich uncle died, his father died, and he got a Birusha. Nita lo b'matana, someone gave it to him as a gift. He didn't do anything to...
Ready everything.
Yeah, it's all full, all ready. He didn't have to lift a finger. Meanwhile, how do you know that even such a case, the Mishnah says that he's potter. How does the Mishnah know that he's potter from the draft? Tamala mihu ish asher bona ba mihu ish asher bona asher bona. An extra word, mihu ish asher bona. The pasuk could have written it more bekitzer. So the fact that it's written asher bona sounds like even if he didn't build it, even if he got it b'matana, he got it b'irush. Then the question was bias. A bias means a house that people live in. How do you know beis ha'itzer, a beis ha'itzer, beis ha'boker, a corral, a stable for the horses? And the other bias, minayin the rabbis, beis ha'tev, beis ha'boker, beis ha'etz, beis ha'etzes. The Mishnah says that all these people are putter. He bought such a, he bought a stable. He's, how do you know? Tamalom ha'shabona mikom akom. Not only bias. Also putter. Inherited.
What happened to
ha'shabona? So we say the word bono is lavdavke, even if he inherited it, and the word bias is lavdavke, even if it's not a beis diris, a beis ha'boker. It's a stable, it's also pata.
How do you see that in the words?
Asher, maybe Asher is...
The Brisa says they're extra words. Rashi explains extra words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk could have written it bekitzer. So the fact that it's written more b'harchove is marba more p'turim.
Is Asher?
Could have said Shebona, yeah. Then the question, so once you're marba so much, so why not say even if he made... Beisharach Sedrim and Pesas. Yochshan Marbach Apeni Beisharach Sedrim and Pesas. No, Tamalama Bais has to be Royal Bais. Ma Bais Haroyal Adira. I've called Haroyal Adira. That's not Royal Adira. The same as you find by Mezuzah that you're not Chayv and Mezuzah Beisharach Sedrim and Pesas, and you are Chayv and Mezuzah and the Beis Oitz and the Beis Oitz and the Beis Abokar and so on. There's a Tana who disagrees with all of this. We pass him like it says in Mishnah. Tana Rav Lezer ben Yankev Omer Bais Kemashmoy. Only if it's a house. The Gemara is going to quote on Amid Beis. They think that just like the Tana, one of the Amorim is going to suggest, just like Rav Lezer Yankov says, Bayis Kimashmoy, he would probably say the same about Nota Kerem, that the Mishnah says, even if he planted five different trees that are close to each other, five different trees. One is a pear tree, an apple tree, an orange tree, totally different trees. The word Kerem normally means a vineyard where you have grapes growing. So the Tanaim in the Mishnah, they expanded it. The word Kerem means any five fruit-bearing trees that are near each other. So the Gemara suggests that just like Rabbi Lezer Yankov says, bias is kipshutoi, only a house where people can live. So he probably would say, they don't have a beferish b'raisa, he would probably disagree with Kerem, also and hold that it only applies to a vineyard.
Where does number five come from?
What?
Five, the number five, where does that come from?
That's a definition of a Kerem. That's a definition of a Kerem. A Kerem... you would otherwise call it a geffen. If he only plants one vine, that's called a geffen. And the word kerem has the connotation of five that are close to each other. Klaya kerem, I don't think you need five. I think even if you just plant one seed, a grape seed, together with the chita v'sar v'chartzen, chita v'sar v'chartzen all together, that would also be a klaya kerem. But let's say for Rashi says for kerem revai, the pasuk says that when you plant the tree, the first if pears grow the first 3 years, if nothing grows, nothing grows, so there's no problem. But if pears grow the first 3 years, so it's a nisa orlo, and then the fourth year there's a din of neter revai, it's a mitzvah to eat it in Yerushalayim, and if it's too much of a schlep, then we allow you to be paid a chutz Yerushalayim. You have to take the money to Yerushalayim to buy food, premium gedule karka, you have to buy
like
Mais Hasheni, like Mais Hasheni, exactly the same deal. Yeah. So the so the Gemara in Brachas has a machlokes whether kerem revai or neter revai. The din of revai that the fourth year you're not allowed to eat the peris chutz to Yerushalayim, you have to either bring it to Yerushalayim or be paida. Does that only apply to kerem revai, only if it's grapes? So does it even apply to netta, to all other trees? So when you learn the Gemara and Brachas, you usually learn It's only machlokes on revai, on the paris of the fourth year. What about the first 3 years? That's a beferish pasuk. Kisavoy al hortz and the taitim kol eitz machol. Any tree that's fruit bearing, the taitim kol eitz machol baral tamar losa shaloshanam areinim yelachem lo yochel. Says beferish in the pasuk. So there's a balamor. The balamor writes in the bottom of the riff in brochas on daf lamed hey, where the gemara has the machlokes. So he writes no. He says the zelbe machlokes satanaim where the kerem revai on neter revai on the fourth year. Whether the din of revai is restricted only to vines, or it applies to even to apple trees and to pear trees, is the same machlokes would apply to the din of orla. Does the din of orla apply the first 3 years only to grapevines, or does it apply to all fruits? So they all ask, what is he talking about? It's against the pasuk in Chumash. So the Baal Amar writes, Rashi says so on the end of Soita. So Rabbi Kivega points out, here is the Rashi. Rashi says the beferish over here. Amem Gimel, Rebbe Kiveger there in Brachas says that the Rashi is over here. If you look at Mem Gimel on the base, both sides of the page are Rashi. There's no Tosis. The Tosis already cocked out on the bottom of Mem base on the base. No more Tosis here. So the both sides are Rashi. So on the inside side, it says in parentheses, Daflam and Heimer Aleph. Where it says Brachas, Daflam and Heimer Aleph. So Rashi quotes, there is an opinion, Kaman Diomar and Brachas, Laman Heimer Aleph, Kerem Revai Tanan. And he adds on, She'en orlo nohegas benetia achas ela bikerem shalom. Orlo. Pashib shat in the machlek is there in brachas daflam and hey. But the kerem revaya, netta revai, netta means all fruit bearing trees, netias. And kerem only means vine, grapevine. So the machlek is only is revai. Is it kerem revai, netta revai? What's the correct reading in the Mishnah? Whether the din of revai applies to all trees or not. But the din of orlo certainly applies to all trees. A pasuk is entitled Kolayt Smaichel. So Rashi writes like the Baal Amor got it from this Rashi. It's still shver. Just because Rashi said it's still a shver Rashi, a shver Rashi and a shver Baal Amor. Why did he decide to follow Rashi again? Machlek is Rashi in the Chumash. So who do you follow? You follow the Chumash, no? Divrei Rabbi, Divrei Talmud. You listen to the Chumash.
In other words, can you mix?
There are three different kinds of kalayim. The three in planting, the three different kinds. So there's kalayim by trees, only apply, if you plant one tree next to the other, that's mutta lagami, mutta lachatchila. The only time it's also is if you do harkova. If you graft a branch from one tree onto another tree, different kinds. So let's say they're all lemon trees, but this is one kind of lemon, that's a different kind. Let's say one of the Chazanishi even writes, an esrig tree and a lemon tree, he holds that it's mutter to graft one on the other. He won't be able to use it for the mitzvah of esrig, but he holds it's all min echad. He holds that it's all min echad. Well, let's say you have two esrig trees. One esrig tree has pitnims, and the other esrig tree doesn't have pitnims. But basically, an esrig is an esrig. It's all the same thing, a slight variation. That is no prohibition of grafting. So where there is a prohibition to graft a peach tree onto an orange tree, an apple tree, where there is a prohibition, we paskin, that's an Issa deraisa, even a chutz loris, and even for a goy. That's considered like one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. It's not listed in the list of the Sheva, it's machlokes hatanaim, and the Rambam and the Shach and Yeridei, paskin, that it's an Issa deraisa, even for a goy. It's not listed in the list of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach. How come? So the Gemara explains why there are more than seven. The seven we say the chayv misa for. Azarasim zoim misosim. Whenever the Nochri violates any one of the seven, Azarasim, if he violates an Azara, any of the Yisurim, Zui Misosim, and Asara and Shmisa, if the guy's going to graft trees, he did an Avera, we tell him, Yashegetz, you shouldn't do it next time. We'll punish him, okay, if it's in our power, we'll punish him. But we don't give the death penalty for that. You only give the Einish Misa and the Sheva Mitzvah's Bnei Noach. So that's one Issa Deraisa is Harkovas Ilonis. That's Noach even in Atar, B'chutz Lords, even by Bnei Noach. Then there's a din of Kloy HaKerem. Kloy HaKerem means if one of the things that you're planting is grape seeds, a vine,
right, too close together.
And then you're planting either too close together, you throw it all in one hand, you have all. So that's a machlegis hataram, how many things do you have to have? So we pass in chita v'sora v'chartzen. Chartzen means the seeds from the grape. The seeds from a grape. You have to plant chita v'sora v'chartzen. Because if you just plant a grapevine next to an apple tree, next to a pear tree, next to an orange tree, in trees there's no issa of kelaim planting one next to the other, even in Eretz Yisrael's heta goma. What are you going to plant over here? You're going to plant a vine next to tvua, trees, a vine is a tree, say bar peyetz when you eat grapes. A vine is a tree, and a tree is never mitzarf with anything else to make kelaim. The only time it's kelaim is if you do harkava. I take a branch from one and I stick it into the other tree, I graft it. But anything less than grafting, planting near each other, trees is het the gomer. So how do you have kloy hakerem? Don't you have kerem? You have grapevine growing next to tvua. So that's one tan holds like that. We don't pask like that. We pask, and it's only an iser if you have chita v'soira v'chartzen. It's kelaim because you have chita v'soira. You have barley and wheat growing near each other. Those are vegetables. It's not a vegetable. It's a grain. So if you have grains growing near each other, that's an iser of kloy's roim. If you have them growing near each other. So if you have a vine together with kloy's roim, so the kloy's roim is elevated to the level of kloy akera. Kloy's roim is usually, and kloy's roim and kloy akera is only in Eretz Yisrael, minatur. Kloy hakerem applies b'chutzlor, it's midirabonim, but minatur doesn't apply in chutzlor. Not like harkovas ilonis, if you graft one branch from one tree onto another tree, that's an isa deraisa, even a chutzlor, it's even for b'nei noya. And kloy hakerem is only minatur in Eretz Yisrael, midirabonim, it applies even a chutzlor.
That means if the vine, the kerem is growing right next to chita misara.
Correct.
And if there's a gate in between, that's enough to separate.
Right. Okay. If there's a gate in between, even though below the ground they're yearning from each other, and above the gate they're leaning on each other. In a shul mistama, it wouldn't be good. You have such a lamachitz, and the men and the women are leaning on each other. But for Klai HaKerem, the Gemara says, Ginok, if it's 10 Tfaf Mato. Gemara says, if you have a Tzuris HaPesach, we learned an Erev. If you have what we call an Erev, you have a pole over here, and a string on top, and you have grapes growing on one side, and the grain growing on the other side. And they're leaning on each other, mamish. There isn't even a mechitz at all. The Gemara says it takes off kolay akerem, right? So wheat paskin, it's only a kolay akerem if you have all three together. Because if you just have grapes and grain over here, so grapes is a tree, and a tree is never mitztaref. Trees stand alone. Even to have 10 different trees planted near each other, that's muta. So have a tree growing next to grain, there's no avera. So it means you have two different grains growing near each other. That's kloy zroim. That's already an avera. That's already an avera. But kloy zroim is an avera to plant it. But it's muta bano. If you went ahead and you planted it, it would be muta. Same thing harkovas ilonis. It's an avera to graft the branch from one tree onto the other tree. Not allowed to do it. But if you did it, it's muta bachila. You can eat it.
We do it today. We're eating many fruits today that were grafted.
Right. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim that b'dieved it's muta. The Gemara has a whole pilpul. How do you know? Maybe you should argue the point out. Maybe you should argue out the case and say that it should be also b'dieved to eat a fruit that was grown through grafting. So the Gemara proves based on Sukkim that b'dieved it's muta. So that's kloy akerem. Then there's kloy zroim. So kloy akerem is also menatar only in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rabbanu they asked even a chutzlor. Then kloy zroim is only also in Eretz Yisrael and a chutzlor it's muta.
Kloy zroim is like chita and sar.
Chita sar near each other, or other vegetables near each other. The plant. So Rashi over here refers you to a Gemara here. The last Rashi, Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi is Menachas Daf Tezvav. So Rashi refers you to a Gemara. Menachas doesn't go into it too long. Rashi points out that the Gemara says there that not all vegetables constitute kloy Yisroel. Most of them not, and some of them yes. Different kinds of vegetables. So Rashi claims that our Gemara is assuming that kloy Yisroel in most cases will only be the Rabbanu. In rare cases it'll be the Raisa. In most cases it'll only be the Rabbanu. So that's where the Gemara has certain coolness here.
But there's never a shaila about fruit trees, period.
Fruit trees kloyim. Growing near each other. That's muta l'chatchila.
If I plant swayim next to fruit trees.
That's muta l'chatchila.
I thought it was my flag that Rambam held that fruit trees were included kloy
kerem
somehow, no?
I know. I don't think so. No.
If you plant two fruit trees too close, the shorashim from one tree to the other take away the strength of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fruit will affect the fruit.
But still muta.
Still muta.
A long time sources if do harkova mamish. If you take a branch from one and you attach it to the body of the other tree. So harkova, that's an isa deraisa, even a chutzlor, it's even for b'nei noach. But plant near each other, even though they are yonik from each other, they're going to have an effect on each other. That's muta legamri, even in Eretz Yisrael.
Kolot Karam is specific to grapes, or any time you plant two
only grapes
in one tree?
No, only grapes, only grapes. If you plant two vegetables near each other, that's Kloi Yisroim. There are two psukim, Sotcholos Yisroim, the Karmacholos Yisroim. So Sotcholos Yisroim is Kloi Yisroim. You plant two vegetables near each other without a sufficient harchoke, that's an Issa. Tosa says that's an Issa deraisa in Eretz Yisroel. And the Chutzlot say we never gozer on that. The Gemara says there were only goes on Chutzlot on Kloi HaKerem because Kloi HaKerem is Mochomer than Kloi Yisroim. What sense is the Muhammad that even b'diyevit it's also b'achila ba'ano? Kol HaKerem you have to burn, it's b'sreifa. So because Kol HaKerem is Ochama, so there were guys who even a chutzlot. But Kloi Yisroim is only also to do it, you get malchus if you plant it. Once you planted it, it's muta b'achila, so it's not as chomer as Kloi HaKerem. So therefore the Gemara explains there were never guys on chutzlot. That's why Rashi found that Gemara very problematic. You only make a gzer d'rabbanon. You only make a gzera derabbanan where the aver is so severe that it's even also b'di'evet. There must be a lot of things where b'di'evet it's mutter and you still make a gzera derabbanan. So Rashi came up with a whopper of a chiddush. Rashi says that the reason why klo Yisroim is not also b'di'evet is because the whole isa is only b'di'rabbanan even in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi crossed out a whole din of klo Yisroim. It's a pasuk chumish sot chalos Yisroim. There are two psukim. One pasuk says Karmachalas Izraklaim, that's Kloi HaKerem. One pasuk says Sotchalas Izraklaim. So Rashi says no, Sotchalas Izraklaim means Karmachalas Izraklaim. The whole institution of Kloi Yisroim, you're not allowed to plant two vegetables near each other, is only an invention with the Rabbanan and Eretz Yisrael Gufa. So they're going to be Machmer Chutzlor, it's like Zera Lekzera. Even in Eretz Yisrael proper, it's only with the Rabbanan. That's what Rashi says. And Tosfos says Basig Rashi in Kiddush and another place Tosfos says, what are you talking about? It's a pasuk in Chumash. Sotchalos Yisroklaim. So Tosfos says no. Kloi Yisroim is an Issa Deraisa in Eretz Yisrael, and Kloi HaKerem is also an Issa Deraisa that even b'di'evit it's also. And the Gemara says because Kloi HaKerem is so much more chomer than Kloi Yisroim, that's why they were only machmer to Aser and Chutzlo. It's only by Kloi HaKerem. By Kloi Yisroim they were never machmer. Rashi found that too difficult to understand. Because it's not also b'di'evet, so therefore what? It's an isa kal. So you don't make a gzera, chutzlots out there, so why not? It's an isa deraisa. You should still make a gzera. So Rashi says, no, that's what it means. It's kal because it's only the rabbanon.
So what happens if I have two different plants in an apple tree or a peach tree? What's the status of that?
The peach tree is lomala velomer. It doesn't change anything. The two vegetables that are growing near each other, you did wrong. By planting them near each other. Let's say that din of Kloi Yisroim, you're not allowed to plant vegetables near each other, that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Lo'ot, they never even made a Gzera D'Rabbanan. What if you'll do Harkovas Yerek? What if you do Harkovas Yerek? So that's an Ibai D'Leif Shit in Gemara Chulin. In Yeridei, the Shach quotes it. Sometimes they do like that. Sometimes they have advertisements in the magazines that you can buy. There are some people who plant their own tomatoes and so on. So sometimes they have advertisements in the magazines you can order, and then they'll send you a thing, you'll plant it in the ground, and you have up to three different vegetables growing together and the same thing, because someone did a harkova over there. So the Gemara in Chulin has a suffix about that in the Baid Leib Shita. Harkova, see, Lonis is an Issa Deraisa, even in Chutz Lorenz. If you take a branch from one tree and you add it onto another tree, and they grow together. New fruit. There's going to be a blend of both. What if you did harkova of zroim? Usually, plain old kiloy zroim and chutzlaris is mutter to plant two vegetables near each other. And chutzlaris, there's no need for any harchoke. What if you did harkovas zroim? If you are marking one vegetable into the other vegetable, not stam growing near each other, marking one into the other, the mamish grow together. So that's a suffix in the Gemara, whether that even applies to Chutz Lo'ot. And the Shach quotes it, even though the Mechaber doesn't quote it, the Shach quotes that Gemara Chulin, that's a suffix. I remember my aunt had such, she used to have a backyard, and she planted all kinds of vegetables, and then she showed me she had this kind of vegetable, so I told her she shouldn't plant it. Because that's Mamash HaKavas Zeroim. HaKavas Zeroim is a suffix.
But if you plant tomatoes and 4 feet away you plant cucumbers, that's not a problem?
No. The Gemara in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Lo'ot?
No, in Baruch Park.
That's Mutter Lechatchila. That's Mutter Lechatchila.
Lechatchila, it's okay?
Yeah. In Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah says how much of a harchaka you have to have. But by Kloy Zerim, they will never go as a chutz lo atzal to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Then the Gemara has next to the last line. It says, Mi yosh yosheb bonam bayis v'lo chanocho. What do you mean, v'lo chanocho? It sounds like, lo chanocho lazeh v'lo ilacher. The ptur, you putter from the drift, if you built a house and you didn't have a chance to live in it a whole year, you part of from the army only sometimes yes and sometimes no. When do we say that the p'tur doesn't apply? So the Gemara says, it doesn't say. It says, if I stole a house from someone else, a guy had a house and I kicked him out. I beat him up and I said, don't ever start off with him here, I'll kill you. And then I'm living in the house. And then they want to draft me to the army. And I say, no, I didn't live in the house for a whole year. So the Gemara needs a brisa to tell me, a pasuk, that there's no p'tur. Freg the Gemara. But the guy's the chaganef. Don't we have a din? Hayor me averish abiyodai? It's a machlekes hatanai. Mihu ish hayori verachalevov. The next mission is going to have a machlekes. It doesn't mean he's a nervous person who's going to fall to pieces. All soldiers are nervous, but he's more nervous than others. Or does that even mean one who... Everybody agrees to that, nervous. Or does it mean one who did Avera? So the Gemara asks, Lema should I say that that Brisa that needs a Pusik to say, Prat L'gazim, the Delek Rabbi Yisagli, the Di Rabbi Yisagli, the Homer, Rachalei, V'zayim, Misyari, Me'avera, Shebiyodoi, anyone who's a Bal Avera, you're not allowed to take it into the army. The Gemara is going to explain. If it's an Avera, Deraisa, they all agree. And Avera de Rabbanon, it's a Machlekes Hatanaim. Here, Gzela is an Aseres Hadibus, that's an Avera de Raisa. So the Gemara should have given an answer. He stole a house and then he did tshuva. But that's not a valid answer. If I steal something from someone else and I didn't give it back, all the tshuva in the world is not going to help. All the tshuva in the world is not going to help. So the Gemara can't answer. I stole a house, I kicked them out of the house, and I did tshuva. Doesn't Ishken tshuva? So the Gemara says, "Halcham askin, and I stole a house." And then I come back to the guy and I say, "I feel awful. I feel awful." So the guy says, "I don't want to move back in the house. I already made myself a new house. I already bought a different house. But you stole my house. Pay me the $500,000 out." So the guy says, "Okay, I pay you the $500,000. Okay, now it's okay if I leave it." The guy says, "The nignab says, yeah, now you can live in the house and enjoy it. It's your house." So then, mamish, that's tshuva. Either you give back the house or you satisfy whatever the nignab wants. He paid him $500,000. So the Gemara says, I feel the time, Rabbi Yosef Lili, Kegondo, Vachuve, he did Chuve, Viyayev, Demei. And he paid him for the house.
It's like buying a new house.
I would have thought that it should be like buying a new house. It should be part of Fregmar Kashi Hoch, Yavalela Kech. So he bought a new house. Velaheda, let him be part of from the army. Velaheda, let him go home from the army. Why did you say in the drasha in the pasuk that he's not exempt from the army and for the gemara? But the story began with a gneiv. Cave in the meikor, but there is gzei lasa liyadei loy. That's what the pasuk tells me. If originally he stole a house and then later on tzach miyashiv given and he decided to pay the nignav, he violated everything here. Loy sachmed, loy sasav, and loy sigzal, everything. You mean anyone who violates Lais Hasaba should be put off in the army? Wow. Lais Hasaba, you violate...
No, if you go in. That's the bearer. He should not be put off in the army.
Why? The Rambam says that you have Lois Sachma and Lois Hasaba are two different
issues. Should we put that against it?
So Lois Hasaba, the Rambam...
Right, I was talking about the case with the new house. Yes, it's Bala Bera.
I don't know, if a person violates Lois Hasaba means I see someone else has something and I have a desire, wow, I wish I could have that. And then I control myself and I just behave. I don't do anything about it. So the Rambam says you're already in violation of Lois Hasaba. If I see someone else is married to a good looking girl or he has a beautiful automobile or a beautiful painting and I say, I'd like that painting, I don't think you should be married to that woman. That's not a good idea. You should divorce your wife. And he says, why should I divorce my wife? And I make him crazy till he divorces her. And then I marry her. I make him crazy till he sells me, he agrees to sell me the painting. I say, such a nice painting, maybe you'll sell it to me. He says, not for sale. I bought it. So I say, what if I give you $1,000? Not for sale. I give you $20,000, not for sale. I give me $1,000,000, sold. So then the Rambam says, not only did I violate Lesesaba, I violated also Lesachmon. Because I took it, yeah. So let's say anytime anyone violates Lesesaba, you don't take him in the army. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
The Gemara's case is we don't take him in with the house.
No, the Gemara says you don't take him in because he violated Lo Sigzo. Because he stole.
He
yeah.
forced the sale on the guy.
No, he didn't force the sale. No, the other guy said, I already bought my own home. He agreed to sell it to him. Then. I don't know, there must be some limit. How can a guy talks Lashon Hara, he's part of the army? Wow. So how are you going to have anybody in the army? Some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara. I can be. There must be some limit. I don't know. There must be some limit. You say, Russia is posulatus. Is anyone who talks Lashon Hara is posulatus? So the Rambam and the Rif say, no, only one who does either Russia the Chamos. Either Russia the Chamos. He does an Aver of Gezel and he takes someone else's Maman. He's posulatus. Or Russia the Lab the Chamos if he's Chayv Malkus on Misa. Because you have two Psukim. It says, Ashehu Russia Lamus. One is Chayv Misa, is called the Russia. The other pasuk says, V'hayam din hakos ha-Russia, v'yipi l'Russia, v'yikol l'fona k'dei Rishasa v'yimispa. So one is Chayv Malkus, and one is Chayv Misa, is called the Russia. One is did an Avera, machmas chimat bamen. That's a Russia de Chomas. But a person who talks Lashon Hara did an Avera, but there's no Malkus, and there's no Misa, and it's not machmas hanoas bamen. So he's not posulatus. And Mistama here also, he must have such a limitation also. Mistama, right, so there's no Malkus. That's a shaila. The Rambam and the Rabbi both say that on Lashachman there's no Malkus. They give two different reasons why. No, Los Hesabe is Eimbo Maisa. Los Hesabe is Eimbo Maisa. But Los Sachman means I convince him to sell me the painting. I ask him, I'd like to buy the painting that's hanging on the wall. He says, not for sale. I say, I'll give you $1,000, not for sale. $20,000, not for sale. $100,000. So he finally sold. So I give him the money and I walk off with the painting. So that should be Alav She'eshbo Maisa. So the Rambam writes, it's also Alav She'eshbo Maisa. And the Rabbi says, what do you mean? Ein Lecha Maisa Gadol Mizeh. He gives him the money, walks off with the painting. So the Rabbi gives a different reason why there's no Malkus. You know, that it's a lav shenitan letashlumen. But they both say the same bottom line, that there's no Malkus on Lo Sachman.
Okay, so the gain will be if you're Russia. If you're Russia, then you're talking
from Lo Sachman. Lechayre, that's what it means. Lechayre, the mi hayu shayari v'rach aleim. You can't say anyone who ever spoke Lashon Hara and he didn't do tshuva is kicked out of the army. So you're not going to have anybody in the army.
What about for the Rambam? The Avera was... The
chimud
and you only
open
it there when you do the
ma'isa.
The Rambam
explains that the Rambam holds that it's a laisachman is a lav she'ein bo ma'isa. So the Rabbi says, "Ein lo ma'isa gadol mizeh." He takes it. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe explains the Rambam holds that the taking is just to determine what degree of chemda did you have in the first place. If I have a slight taiva, I wish I could get him to sell me that painting, but I control myself. I don't say a word. If it's a slight desire, then you're even loisasave. That's a lav shema ma'isa. And if it was such a strong desire that I actually went ahead and I bought it from him, so that indicates that the desire was stronger, so then I'm over there. But that's only a shear to determine how strong the desire was. But desire is still a lav shema ma'isa. That's what the Rambam holds. And the Rabbi disagrees and says, no, Lo Sachman is an Isur of taking. It's an Isur of Geneva. It's not a degree in the taiva that it was such a strong taiva. It's an Isur to take.
But he eventually relents, and then he takes $1 million or $100,000 willingly. So at that time,
yeah, he
it's
the no guy who
the Loisach mode.
I've already violated the Loisach mode. Even though he later on agrees, I've already violated Loisach mode.
Until you
got
to that point.
Yeah. Till I got to that point, I violated Loisach. Okay. The Gemara is going to continue with the details. Who's Potiph in the army? Yeah. In Parshas Yisra, the Chumash says, "Vayisyatzu v'sachtis ha'har." The Bnei Yisrael was standing at the foot of the mountain. That's the Poshibsha. So the Gemara has a whole interpretation. "V'tachtis ha'har" means tachas ha'har. The Rebbe Shalom picked up the mountain and he threatened the Jewish people. If you don't accept the Torah, he's going to drop the mountain on them. So what did he have to threaten? Tosfos asked the guys, "What do you have to threaten?" They all said, "Nasa v'nishma." Why was it necessary to threaten? So Rabbi Shimon Shkop had a whole interpretation. Tomorrow night I'm supposed to be speaking about Rabbi Gerelik in the yeshiva. So I was thinking about what am I going to say already. So I remember Rabbi Gerelik was very close to the Brisk Rav. He learned in Brisk 2 years. They had an arrangement that they had, the Brisk Rav had 11 places on his table. So he allowed them to take 11 Talmidim from all the yeshivas put together. So they took a few from Radin, from Mir, from Slabodka, from all the yeshivas. They added up to not more than 11, because that was the number of seats that he had on his table. Sure. So they usually learned 1 year, and then they went back to whatever yeshiva they went. Rabbi Gerelich was dating a girl in Brisk who didn't agree to marry him. So he said he wants to go, he has to stay in Brisk another year. So they gave him permission. He was lucky. His wife didn't agree to marry him at first, so he stayed a second year. He was fortunate. There were those who lived in Brisk, so they learned by the Brisker Rav Fadonga, but those who came from the other yeshivas, the minig was they only learned for 1 year, then they went back. So Rabbi Gerelich was very kosher to the Brisker Rav. So it was like Einoid Malvadoi, like monotheism. We only believe in one God, so by him there was only Brisker Rav and no one else. So those who were very close to Rav Elbala, they found a big gap between Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Chaim Soloveitcher. Rav Shimon Shkop is around 10 years younger than Rav Chaim. In Valozhin, Rav Chaim gave Shurim, and Rav Shimon was from the group who listened to Shurim. And they felt that Rav Shimon was a traitor, that he didn't follow Rav Chaim's derech and learning. Is totally, a lot of things they say exactly the same. And in recent years, they published the Sefer all about Rav Shimon Shkop. So they quote there that Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, who is the famous Rosh Yeshiva in Panovich Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they printed all of his shurim. Now, many, many volumes of shurim. He's a very popular Rebbe, very cheerful, charismatic person. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky learned by Rav Shimon Shkop. Everything by him was Rav Shimon. So on one occasion, he met Rav Elbala in Eretz Yisrael, and they spoke in learning. So they quote, Rav Elbala said, it's like my father, Rav Chaim. I see that Rav Shimon was almost the same as my father. So that's their version of the story. And by those who were very close to Rav Elbala, they can't give in that anybody else was like Rav Elbala or Rav Chaim. So they found a big gap between. So Rabbi Gerelich, I remember the 1 year that I learned in his class, so he gave us his respect for Rav Elbala to the exclusion of all others. So he said, Rav Shimon Shkop interpreted this, Maimach Hazal Kof Aleim Harkigigis, not to be taken literally, it's to be taken figuratively. If the Rabbanu Shel Olam appears to you, and he says, I have Taryag Mitzvahs, and you see Mamash Gila Shechina in front of your eyes, and he says, would you like it? You don't even have any Bechira Chavshis. Of course you're going to want it. God is talking to me in person. So of course he's going to take it. So he interpreted, that's what it means, Kof Aleim Harkigigis. He was so overbearing, he was so overpowering. He overpowered everyone. They had to give in. So they say, B'Shem Rab Chaim, that he said, that's a Chashash Apikursus. So Rabbi Gerelich liked that. Such a gap. No, to emphasize such a gap between Rab Shimon and Rab Chaim. And he learned by Rab Elvala, who is from Rab Chaim, that's the right way to the exclusion of the other way. I don't know. Rab Chaim said over differently. Rab Chaim liked the pshat from the Marami Prague. The Shev Shmaitz and the Hagdamah has all drush. The Hagdamah, Shev Shmaitz is all halacha, has no drush, but the Hagdamah is all drush. So in the Hagdamah, he quotes the Marami Prague, why did the Rabbanu Shalom have to be kof aleim harkiki? Because they said Nasim and Ishma. Taisis Kasha. So the Marami Prague said, you shouldn't think that a non-Jew who converts, out of the goodness of his heart, he obligated himself, he agreed to observe all the 613 mitzvahs. No, it's not out of the goodness of his heart. God commands you to observe the mitzvahs. If you're not interested, if you want to remain a non-Jew, he's not going to command you. Once you agree to become a Jew, it's not a hischaivus midas. It's not that you, out of the goodness of your heart, agree to do the mitzvahs. God commands you, you have to do the mitzvah. You have to do it because it's the Ratzon Hashem. So the Rabbanu Shlom first wanted, they should say Nasa v'Nishma. If they're not interested in Kabbalah's on mitzvahs, he's not going to force Yiddishkeit on them. But once they said Nasa v'Nishma, then he forced the Torah upon them. They shouldn't think that the mitzvahs are his chayvis midas. No, it's min hashamayim yemuchayivtu. But remember, Rabbi Gerelich, that was his understanding, that the Brisker Rav was einoid milvada. There was Brisker Rav with the Rav Chaim was on one side, and everybody else, including Rav Shimon, was very far away. So far away that it was considered a chashash apikursus. I don't think I'll say that tomorrow. I should say other things. Okay.
Pesach by the Brisker and pay by the Rodisov. I mean, the matzahs were burnt and everything.
No, that was in Valozhin, the Beis Halevi and the Netziv, both Pravid Seder. So the Beis Halevi, everything was nervous. He was nervous. So the matzahs were burnt because he's a chashash chometz. and everything. He was nervous. He was a yotze. He's not. And then it was like a happy grandfather. Everybody was sitting together. Everybody was yotze. Everything and geschmack and friendly. So one of the talmidim learned there, right? So the contrast between the seder by the netziv and the seder by the
besar. When did he pass away? When did he pass away?
In the '30s. The Nazis didn't have a chance to kill him. He got a heart attack when they closed his yeshiva.
We were at his grave. He was thinking. Lyman took us. He's in one of the graves, one of the cemeteries there that's been desecrated. Tucker pointed out that Shimon Shkep is buried there. They don't even know where his money would save it.
He was in YU for 1 year.
Then he came. He died in Europe.
Yeah, he wanted to retire in America. He wanted to retire. So and he felt that Europe was all lost. He thought the future of Yiddishkeit is in America. But the Rabbanim in Europe insisted that he should come back. So Rabbi Chaim Eisen insisted. So he went back and he said it didn't make sense to him. He didn't see any future.
Two cemeteries that were desecrated. He was buried in one of them.
So Nasa Vinishma isn't in part in the Moshe Omar.
So it was after.
It was after.
Nishkin Kashin.
Well, Rashi says Moshe